Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network to help us make sense of all of the chaos and moving elements of this next Trump administration. Every Monday at 3 p.m., I'm going to be joined by some very smart folks from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. My next guest, I'm very happy and humbled to bring him back to the show. You've heard from him before, my friend, and now a friend to each and every one of you. His name is Colin Seeberger. He's the Senior Advisor of Communications at the Center for American Progress Action Fund, here to talk about, I don't even know what you call what we watched this morning. Maybe the billionaire fest that was the 47th president's inauguration this morning. It was wild.
Yeah, I don't know if we were celebrating the transition of power in this country or this was just groveling at the feet of the broligarchy. It was really incredible to see some of the, most wealthy people in the history of the world be getting, positioned right behind the president, right behind the vice president. Meanwhile, you have members of his cabinet being pushed further back. You have members of Congress not even be able to get into the room. Governors, people like Brian Kemp, people like Governor Abbott of Texas, allies of the president, right, aren't even able to get a foot in the door because Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, it was incredible. And it really just, I think, underscored for folks who is a priority for Donald Trump. And I think it's a real warning sign to Americans as to, what may be coming over the course of the next 4 years.
I couldn't agree with you more. I wanted to ask you a question, Colin, about like these two competing ideas or lines of commentary that at least are floating around in my head, and I think a lot of people's. One is the fact that President Biden, including Vice President Harris, President Obama, former President Clinton, and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, showed up and participated in today's events, and why, at least in my opinion, it was the right thing to do, because this is about the office of the President of the United States. It's about being able to criticize our government and institutions and yet still show respect for our democratic processes, right? That at that same time, you have a crass ass who never shows any class, right? Like denigrating the former president that's sitting right behind him. So this idea, and I think it plays out on different levels, right? That we can criticize and demand more from our institutions, and yet understanding that our democratic processes those things have to be improved and yet respected in these moments of transition and these pivotal tipping points. It's difficult. It's not easy, right? Because there's not just one line of thought here. We've got to deal with a bunch of competing ideas at the same time.
Yes, while I understand perhaps the instinct of some folks to want to take a pass, particularly people like former Speaker Pelosi, who was hunted down in the U.S. Capitol 4 years ago by the president's supporters. Do I understand? Do I empathize with the decision to not attend? Yes. Do I also recognize that Donald Trump, the American people just voted for him? I think that kind of the first step in healing is acknowledging, you have a problem, right? And that's why I think for Democratic leaders who chose to attend, I think it's an important first step. And I think it's an important picture for the American people to see that, you know, we have these political differences, but that doesn't mean that we can't continue to respect the will of the people and also make progress where, you know, we're able to find common ground.
Yes. And here is the thing that I think, based on his inaugural address today, that leaps to the top of my mind. And that is, you ran on a platform committing to help the middle class. And yet it seems one of the first things that you're interested in doing is actually rolling back rights for many people, and that there will be a lot of things coming. I don't know what the raids are going to look like in Chicago, LA, New York this coming weekend. I don't know what form all of this will take, but the idea that we're coming for your rights, and frankly, some of his promises in his inauguration to do that, I think should merit pause for people. And hey, is this actually serving the American people? How does this serve and better the working people and the regular middle class that he promised to help lift up?
So I think that's actually my big takeaway from the speech this morning is, you know, you look at all the ads that Donald Trump ran on air from his campaign during the election, you know, a lot of them were really focused on, you know, we need to lower the cost of living, we need to lower prices, inflation is killing people, you know, people feel more squeezed than ever. And yet, you know, the guy was ticking off his day one priorities list, and he's talking about, you know, we need to crack down on DEI and gender this, that, the next, and, you know, bureaucrats this, and not, or, you know, or, hey, we're going to invade Panama, right, and try to seize the Panama Canal, right? All of these things are meant to be a distraction from the fact that the guy doesn't have a day one agenda or a 4-year agenda to lower the cost of living, to bring down grocery prices. You played a clip just a few minutes ago where Donald Trump was talking about putting the American flag in Mars. You're telling me we have the money, we have the resources to be, you know, underwriting Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos sending people to Mars, but we don't have the money to make your groceries a little bit cheaper at the end of the week? Give me a break.
Well, and that's, to me, that this point at which you come to, this inflection point, where if you look at the executive orders that he promised to execute this morning in his inaugural address, and we can grant that there is a problem with at the southern border and with our immigration system. It doesn't work well. It's not efficient. It's not effective. And so
we're the wealthiest nation in the history of the world.
Yes.
It's fair for people to say we should have a secure border.
Absolutely. And after you get past that, like, yes, let's work to secure the southern border. Well, let's invoke the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. What are you actually going to build, concentration camps? Okay, well, I'm sure that'll be come on the cheap. The plant a flag on Mars. Yep, that's super cheap. Declare an energy emergency. Wait a minute. Under the Biden administration, we produced more oil and natural gas than ever in our nation's history. What are you actually even talking about? I'm going to tariff and tax foreign countries. Well, tariffs aren't paid by foreign countries. They're paid by the importing businesses. I fail to see how that's going to work. Again, all in the service of reducing tax burdens for the wealthiest among us. Censorship. Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that, like, DEI, censorship, and all these things, that's really what's going to move the needle for the American middle class. Like, none of it actually... The closest he gets is the tariff and tax foreign countries, which is a lie because that's not how it works. Everything else had nothing to do with helping middle-class families put more dollars in their bank account and do better. Nothing. Nothing.
Or make government work better. More efficiently, right? You know, I mean, you brought up immigration. You know what? Let's dive into this for a second. Everything that Donald Trump laid out today is not a solution for actually making the immigration system work. It's not, you know, how do we make sure that we have a secure border? It is completely close everything. It is, you know, getting rid of pathways to actually have an organized and an orderly immigration system so we know who is coming into and out of the country. Take, for instance, today, you know, they announced that they're going to, or it was reported that the president is going to sign an executive order that is going to terminate the use of CBP-1, which allows people to basically make appointments with immigration enforcement at the border, so that way you know, they can have an orderly process for entering the country, right? People showed up to their seats today, and they're told, no, your appointment is no longer, you know, no longer moving forward. All of it is, how do we basically destroy the entire system and make it not work? And then shout that we've got problems and you know, try to use that as a political cudgel against the man's perceived political enemies. It's ridiculous.
Well, and it's that sort of gets right at the heart of the issue, right? Like, blow it up and destroy it and then act like somebody else made it, like that someone else alone created the problem. This has been a problem that administrations have been trying to address for literally decades in our country, to little to no effect, because we allow the politicization to keep us from actually doing something. And by the way, every law enforcement expert that I have ever worked with or spoken to about the concept of mass deportation and immigration raids into communities and businesses and rounding people up say, oh my goodness, please don't do that, because it will make it so much harder to keep communities safe or to improve safety in communities that are struggling with a lot of violence, because everyone will be afraid of us and no one will talk to us. And that's when you're running on a public safety platform and you do the thing that law enforcement experts say is actually going to decrease public safety. It's a little bit of a hard sell. We're going to come back with my very special guest, Colin Seeberger. He's from the Center for American Progress Action Fund. We're going to talk more about Donald Trump's priorities for his second term and how they're going to impact you and your family. So keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. We'll be back with more in just a moment.